So I'm joined today by one of the premier NASCAR Gander Outdoor Truck Series drivers, Mr. Grant Enfinger. Grant, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, appreciate you having me.
So first and foremost, what a race at Texas, huh? That was pretty crazy with the package and everybody being so close. I know y'all had some issues, but what was going on with the 98 truck? What exactly kind of went wrong there?
Yeah, it was definitely unfortunately an eventful race for us. We ended up unloading not quite as good as we want to be, but Jeff Hensley and the guys had worked hard and made it better, and they were battling, I guess, for seventh or eighth there, and the engine started missing for about a half a lap, and then she just blew up all of a sudden. So kind of massive releasing of oil and a little fire and everything else, and just unfortunate. It ended our day there. A pretty critical race for us, being that was the middle race there in our second stage of the playoffs. So, kind of put us with our backs behind the wall heading to Martinsville this week. But that's part of it. We got a pretty tough team, and we've been in positions like this before, and feel like we've got an opportunity to overcome that.
Yeah, and with you saying y'all are going to Martinsville this week, we see a lot of beating and banging. I know you'll be contending with Ben Rhodes and Matt Crafton for that final spot. Will you be racing your teammates any differently coming into like a race with so much on the line?
You know, for us, it's a little different, I think. Well, I guess me and Ben are in the position to where we have to win. Crafton can point his way in there. We honestly, all of us at Thor Sport Racing pretty much have our work cut out for us this weekend. We're not all, you know, in the spot that we want to be in. It would be much better for us to all be solidly in and you know, us have a little points cushion going into this. But none of us have that. Crafton can point his way in there, but we're in a position to where we have to win. So, you know, obviously we don't want to put our teammates in a bad spot or anything like that. You know, but when it comes down to it, they're the last restart at Martinsville, you know, kind of anything goes. So hopefully we're able to have a Champion Power Equipment F-150 that's good enough to where we can kind of stay up front and stay out of those melees that you know are going to happen. So hopefully we're able to accomplish that. Feel like we've got the team, we've got the mindset, we have that opportunity. So hopefully we can just hit everything right and stay up front all day tomorrow.
Yeah, this has definitely been kind of a career year for you guys, winning Daytona when y'all loaded off the truck at Daytona, beating Jordan Anderson in that photo finish, and the other two wins you guys got. It seems like going to Martinsville, though, like you got to have most of your truck left when you come to the end. What are some of the keys to kind of surviving the chaos around there?
Well, you said it right there is chaos. And unfortunately there's going to be a lot of that. I feel like this being the end of a playoff round, I think that's just going to add even more intensity and chaos. But the biggest thing is, man, you can't be bending spindles and bending tie rods and knocking your toe in and out. Aero doesn't matter quite as much there at Martinsville that it does everywhere else that we go on the Truck Series schedule. But the biggest thing is to maintain the mechanical grip that we start with in our F-150. We don't want to be knocking tires around too hard or anything like that. So I think that's a big key. Also, you know, keeping the brakes under it.
Yeah.
Even though our truck races are a little bit shorter, our race tomorrow night is only 200 laps, we still have to keep the brakes under it. A lot of times in traffic, especially if you got a little too much tape on the grill or whatever, you can boil your brakes pretty easily there. So, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's definitely going to be intense. And, you know, we're kind of in the position to where, you know, the points don't matter to us at all. We can kind of go for broke and hope for the best at the end.
For sure. So I want to kind of ask you about the beginning of your whole racing career. I know you raced a lot around the Gulf Coast. I think you ran the Snowball, if I'm correct on that. Where did you kind of get started, and what kind of drew you to auto racing, especially NASCAR?
You know, it started out, my dad was a race fan, and that's it. He had never raced anything himself, and wasn't so much a car guy or anything like that, but he was a race fan. And so we would go to Talladega every year and kind of have that father and son bond there. And that's when I figured, heck, you know, why can't I do this? So that's where the dream started there, and I started racing go-karts at age 11. And then went to Legends Cars, which is kind of where I cut my teeth as far as really racing serious and working on the cars and really investing a lot of time and energy and everything we had into racing when we started racing Legends Cars. And then, I grew up right near the Snowball Derby. So when we started racing Super Late Models, we raced the Snowball Derby quite a few times. Actually trying to race it again this year. Don't know 100% sure if it's going to happen, but I'm working on it. That's kind of how everything got started there on the Gulf Coast.
Yeah, and it had to have been really, really neat when you won Talladega in the trucks, seeing that was a track you went to a lot with your dad and everything.
Yeah, that was definitely probably the most memorable, day I've had, you know, as far as a race car driver in the best memory I could say with just all our friends and family, being able to celebrate with all those guys and a lot of them that were there were responsible for keeping that dream alive and keeping it going from a long time ago. So yeah, definitely a special memory for me.
Yeah, you've become quite the plate racer, winning Daytona this year. It's got to be. There's got to be some sort of strategy to staying in the draft and everything and just avoiding the carnage. But at some point, you got to think, sometimes you get lucky on those type of tracks. What kind of advice do you kind of give for, like, people who are new in the sport and just getting to plate racing in the beginning of their careers and stuff?
You know, it's tough. You have to enter those races with a completely different mentality than say, hey, you know, Martinsville or a mile and a half or anything like that. And I feel like the guys that really excel at plate racing really love it. You know, I think a lot of guys, you know, dread going there because it's so easy to get caught up in somebody else's wreck and so easy to you know, be just minding your own business and get wiped out. And really hurt your day and your season and everything else. But I think the mindset is a lot of it. But also, you know, just going with your gut instincts and having a really good spotter. There is no substitute for a spotter on a plate race. I'm blessed to have one of the best in the business, in Chris Lambert. He was definitely a big reason that we're able to pull the win off there at Daytona. But you know, there's times it's going to work out. There's times it's not. But I think you have to have a plan. But the plan is constantly changing each and every lap. And when you have a bad gut feeling on it, whereas some people will go to the back and try to ride out a wreck, I tend to move towards the bottom of the track and try to leave me a little bit of opening in front of me to where if something does happen, I can escape. I can at least, you know, drop it off the bank and go down pit road. Something to that extent. If you're running in the middle of the pack, if you're in the second or third groove and they start wrecking, there's nothing you can do. It's either going to work out or not, but you're not going to have any control in it.
Yeah.
So I feel like being on the bottom of the track there when stuff is getting dicey is a good option.
Yeah, that's definitely one to think about considering, like, but the banking, I'd imagine, if you drop down so quickly, I figured it would hurt the splitter. But I definitely understand what you're saying. Like, you got to get out of the way, you know, of those big wrecks. So overall, I kind of wanted to ask about this year, and it's been crazy. This has been a year unlike any other. What do you think is the biggest change for you guys in the truck series that NASCAR has made? I know they've made the changes. There's the choose rule, and there's no practice in qualifying. What kind of has affected you guys the most?
Yeah, it's definitely been a lot of changes this year. You know, it's been huge. A lot of it is, you know, we don't have fans at a lot of these races. There's some now that we're going to have limited numbers at. We're going to have a few at Martinsville tomorrow night. You know, so that's a big part of it. And also the sponsors aren't able to come down there. And, you know, that's going to have a lot of, you know, effects on our sports. So that's tough. You know, it's been tough on everybody. You know, even my wife hadn't been able to come to races this year. So, you know, that's changed a lot of things. But definitely by far the biggest performance change is no practice.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel like it affects the cup guys quite as much as us. And it doesn't affect the top dozen or so in the Xfinity garage, because they have that cup technology and their sim is so dialed in. But, you know, in the truck deal, we're still, you know, racing. We're still, you know, there's still a lot of old school guessing and theories and you know, we don't have it all down to an exact science. There's a lot of times, you know, Jeff Hensley has to just go with his gut feeling and his past experience on tuning these trucks in, because of the constant variables that we have, that the tires are changing each and every week. There's stuff changing and we're not practicing. We don't have a second chance to get our cambers right or our travels right or anything like that. So that's definitely been the biggest change. I feel like overall we've done okay with that. There's been, you know, I'd say about half of the races where we've hit that spot on. There's been another few races where we've hit it pretty close, and then there's been a few races we've missed it. But overall, man, I'm proud of our guys, proud of everybody at Thor Sport Racing, because it's definitely been a challenge.
Yeah, for sure. And hopefully by next year, like, garage access will be more open and they can let some of those sponsors in, because I know it's affecting the Cup Series itself. I saw Keen Automotive, since they can't go in, they're just backing out. They can't go in the garage.
It's tough, man. There's a lot of sponsorship. It's you know, that we're still getting great exposure. We're still getting, you know, a great TV audience and all that. But a lot of guys want to be in there where they can see it and taste it and smell the fumes you know, it's a big deal to be able to interact with the fans. So hopefully we can get that back soon. But we're doing some other stuff. Our guys at Blackstone Management, who is the marketing group that kind of keeps me racing, they're doing some cool stuff on iRacing to try to promote our partners with Champion Power Equipment, Green Mountain Grills, also Farm Paint. They're doing some cool stuff to try to, even though we can't see the fans face-to-face this year, they're trying to get to them virtually. So, you know, I feel like times like this, you got to be creative and you got to put that extra effort in to make these things work.
For sure. So I kind of wanted a side note question here. I know you said your crew chief, Jeff Hensley. Is he any relation to the old driver, Jimmy Hensley?
Yes, that's actually Jeff's. That was Jeff's uncle. So Jeff's dad was Hubert Hensley, and Jimmy Hensley was his uncle. So, yeah, ton of family history there. This is actually Jeff's home track there in Martinsville.
Yeah.
Those guys are from Horse Pasture, Virginia, which is only a few minutes away from the track there in Martinsville. So it's definitely a big hometown race for him. And, man, it's a big race. You know, a lot on the line for us as a team and an organization. So hopefully we're able to rise up for the occasion and put our Champion Power Equipment F-150 in victory lane tomorrow night.
Yeah, this is definitely one to watch for sure. This is probably one of the most exciting races on the schedule. I wanted to kind of ask about 2021 and what's kind of the plans for the truck series. Is there going to be anything new with maybe the package, or will it be much of the same? I know we have a brand new schedule and y'all be going to Circuit of the Americas next year, but is there going to be any like new innovations for the trucks where the racing might be different, or will it be kind of much of the same?
From everything I'm hearing at this point, our rules package, stuff like that is going to remain the same for the time being. You know, NASCAR is not afraid to change some on us on the last minute or anything like that. But I think the game plan right now is to leave our package pretty much the same. That seems to be the direction they're they're basically have worked really hard the last couple of years to make the Cup races more like the truck races. So
yeah,
they're kind of going more in our direction rather than changing us. So I feel like there's certain places that we have a really good package. There's other places I wish we could tweak it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think there's gonna be that's gonna remain the same, but we are gonna go to some new tracks. They haven't officially released our schedule at this time, but from what I'm hearing, we're gonna go to a few new tracks. So should be an interesting year next year.
Yeah. We actually went to some new tracks this year. Well, not we personally, but as fans, like as the sport, they went to a new track at Daytona, the Daytona Roval, with no practice and no qualifying. What was that like, kind of starting at a new track that was pretty much unknown to everyone?
You know, I was wrong about that. I honestly thought that was a huge mistake, us doing that with no practice at all. Felt like it was going to be, some issues go on there, much like what we've seen at the Charlotte Roval, even when those guys had practice. But I was wrong. Man, everybody did a great job. I feel like the manufacturers really rose up to the occasion, gave all the guys a lot of simulation time. And I feel like that helped us put on a good show even without practice. And I know it's really important at this kind of juncture of where everything is with the pandemic and everything else for us not to have backup cars and backup trucks, and that's the reason that we're not doing practice right now. But I feel like everybody did a great job with that. I feel like it was an entertaining race. I feel like it was actually a good road course race. There were some decent passing zones. Didn't see a lot of guys just blatantly dumping guys like we do at some of these road courses and the trucks anyway. So I felt like overall everybody did a great job with that.
Yeah, I thought so too. I felt like in the Cup guys and everybody, they were being a little bit extra cautious. Do you think we saw that sort of in the truck series, or was it sort of like a normal kind of race where you see a lot of side by side and beating and banging on the Daytona road course?
Yeah, and I feel like our specific truck race was a little cleaner than I expected, and I think a lot of that was because of the fast guys were up front most of the time. They weren't having to drive back through the field. You didn't have anybody, throwing that big Hail Mary and just blatantly dumping somebody. I feel like we actually did a good job, better than we did last week at Texas. So,
yeah, that was crazy.
So I think everybody did a great job with that.
Yeah. Side note on that, I was actually at the race at Texas. My friend Tex actually kind of hooked us up, and we were up in the suites I was talking to Chandler Smith's dad, I believe, and he was not happy about the comments made by Ben Rhodes there at the end about KBM.
Yeah. So definitely interesting. Normally we have that kind of craziness leaving Martinsville.
Yeah.
We don't normally have it entering Martinsville. So be an interesting time there tomorrow night. So those of you that are listening that maybe we're questioning whether you need to tune in tomorrow night, definitely tune in tomorrow night.
Yeah, anybody who is a NASCAR fan or a racing fan in general, you gotta watch Martinsville for any race, especially the trucks, though, because, like, those guys – you guys probably put on the best show of anyone each week, I think, because the package for mile and a half, they seem much closer. But yeah, Martinsville is a no doubt can't miss.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So before we kind of wrap it up, I noticed you mentioned you're going to be possibly be at the Snowball Derby this year. I'm going for the first time in December. What kind of atmosphere is it like for that race?
It's exciting. It's got that, a little bit of an electric feel. Everybody gets pumped up and excited for that race. It's drawn out, from a racer standpoint. We got to be there Wednesday morning all the way through Sunday. So it's drawn out. It's a little bit laid back from a competition standpoint, because we're not busting it, every hour of every day. you know, but we have a little chance to kick back and hang out and drink a beer or two in the evenings. But man, that race is serious. It's an incredibly competitive race. But the most exciting part, and as far as a driver's standpoint, is Friday night, and that's qualifying. There's so many good super late models from all across the country that try to make that race. On a normal snowball derby weekend, half of them go home. So that qualifying on Friday night is incredibly important. And everybody does everything they can for qualifying, which is a little different, you know, because most of the super late model racing these days, they're pretty well impound races. So you're gonna make it as good as you can from a race package, and then you're gonna, you know, qualify the best you can. Well, this is a little different. Everybody's got to throw everything they have at it to lay a lap down. Otherwise, man, you might be going home.
Yeah.
So it's definitely an intense time there, but it's a lot of fun, a lot of chance to hang out and meet guys and really enjoy your time there.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll kind of wrap it up here with a bit of a wild card question like I do usually. But I wanted to ask you, which track do you think is the hardest to get a really good restart on? I figured Martinsville would be up there, but I wanted to kind of get your take on it personally.
You know, I'd say definitely Atlanta. It's one of those places where, especially if you're restarting in the second groove there, it's incredibly slick. You try the best you can to time the runs, but if you miss it just a little bit and you try to overcome it, which is your first instinct from the driver's seat, you just spin your tires and can't get going. So no, I feel like Martinsville is, you know, about average. Atlanta is definitely tough.
All right, for sure. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Mr. Infinger. I'll definitely be cheering for you tomorrow night at Martinsville to get into the Final Four. It's really been a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope to get to see you soon on one of these races again one of these days in person.
All right, man. Thank you very much.